Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. We're located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. We would like to invite you to worship with us this morning at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, 10:20 for worship, this afternoon at 4 p.m. for worship, and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. The next few weeks that I'm presenting the lesson to you, I want to deal with the one true church, or the assembly that Christ built. And we'll look at passages such as Matthew 16:18 that says that he built this church. He said, "I will build my church." And we're going to be looking at scriptures concerning this one true church. But before we get into studying that particular subject, we need to look at some of the basic thoughts in the scriptures about our responsibility to God to examine ourselves and to search for that truth. Problem is, people today basically are following what their parents taught them, or what their preacher tells them, or what leaders tell them, or even the majority in the religious arena, instead of going to God's Word. If I'm always just listening to a certain group or a certain person and following the teachings of that group or that person and not going to my Bible and seeing what God says on the subject or various religious subjects, then I can be very easily led astray. There's a few scriptures I wanted to take us to concerning this principle to begin with. The first one we find is in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. This helps us to understand that we're all responsible to seek out the truth, to search for it, to find it the way God has put it forth to us and given it to us. Unfortunately, today and down through the century, there have always been people who twist the truth of God around. They add to it, they take away from it. They teach all kinds of different doctrines and religious principles that God doesn't teach in His Word. And unfortunately, people don't go study God's Word and see if these things are true or not. Let's look at a few scriptures. First of all, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, it says, Jesus says there, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." So we see the principle as Jesus is putting forth to us there, that we have this responsibility to seek out this truth. We find in John 8, verses 30 and 31, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" So Jesus very clearly shows us, dear listener, that the power from our Creator is found in His Word, in the truth. This is the only thing that can set us free. It's not an organization. It's not a group of people. It's not a leader. It's this person called Jesus Christ who came to this earth, and He said that you must abide in my Word in order to truly be my disciples. And this word, this truth that we must know, is the only thing that can set us free from sin and from death. Another passage is Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, it's talking in the context about the different types of soils that the seed, the Word of God, is sown into. In other words, different types of hearts of men. And after it goes through some hearts that do not keep the word, it comes up to this good heart, the good soil. And in verse 15 of Luke chapter 8, it says, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience." So we see our responsibility there, dear listener, that we, in studying God's Word, in seeking for the truth on any a given religious subject, we must accept it, but we must put it into our hearts, and we must bear fruit. We must apply it, hold it fast, live what we find from God in His inspired Word. Also turn with me to Acts chapter 17 and verses 10 and 11. Acts chapter 17 and verses 10 and 11. There it says, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all readiness, eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And so that is the kind of attitude that our Creator shows us and tells us that you and I must have. We must be seeking for the truth, searching out to find what God says on any religious subject, and to follow only what He authorizes, what He teaches. That's what the Bereans were doing when Paul came preaching and teaching them that this one who died on that cross, Jesus Christ, back in Jerusalem a few years earlier, was in reality the true Messiah, the Son of God. And they went to their Old Testament scriptures that they had at that time to see if he was teaching them the truth, if this man was really fulfilled all of these prophecies, and of course he did. Another principle that I want to look at in detail before we get into an actual study of the one true church is that principle that we cannot add to or take away from God's inspired word. Why do we have so many religious groups today? Why are there so many religious positions in almost every Bible subject that you can think of? Well, people say, well, you know, that's just the way it is. No two people can see the Bible alike. But you know, the inspired Apostle Paul doesn't teach that, and he was inspired of the Holy Spirit. And he said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4 that when we read, we can perceive his understanding. In other words, you and I can understand the scriptures the same way. If we understand it differently, then one of us or both of us are wrong in the understanding of that scripture. The point is, the Bible clearly shows that God is not the author of confusion. He doesn't say one thing over in this part of the Bible and then say something that would contradict himself in another part of the Bible. In other words, it's his word. It comes from him, and there are no contradictions in it. He doesn't contradict himself. God is perfect and just and pure and holy and sinless. And when we study his word, dear listener, we can have all of our faith and confidence in our Creator that what he says is true, and he means it, and he doesn't contradict. He's not like we are. You know, we say one thing here, and then we'll say another thing there. Sometimes we'll even contradict ourselves, and we'll end up sometimes being deceitful or lying. But God's not like that. He's not sinful. He is perfect. He doesn't do those kinds of things that you and I do from time to time. In fact, that's what separates us from him, because we're sinful. We fall short, but he's perfect. So his word is perfect. And we have to believe his word. But when we go to study it, we have to be sure that we're understanding it the correct way, that we're following it the way he wants us to follow it. So when we look at this principle that we are not allowed to add to or take away from his word, it's very clear. He's always taught this. He teaches it throughout the inspired word. So let's go and start in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and read verses 1 and 2. That's Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. Here it says, "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live, and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you." So we very clearly see here that if we add to or take away from God's word, we can't keep his commandments. That's an impossibility. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and looking at verse 32, it says, "Everything that I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to it or take from it." Going on over into the book of Proverbs, we see this theme again. in chapter 30 and verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs. There the inspired writer says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those that take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar." And let's go to the end of the inspired writings in Revelation chapter 22 and verses 18 and 19, and we see the principle very strongly there. He says there in verses 18 and 19 of Revelation chapter 22, "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book." Then next I want to look at a passage in Galatians chapter 1 and verses 6 through 10. There are lots of scriptures. I'm just pointing out a few of the main ones that you may have never heard before. And that's one of the problems, because if where you may be attending, if they're not studying God's Word and going through it and looking at all of it, and if you're not reading it at home, then you may be, these may be foreign thoughts to you. And so look with me at Galatians chapter 1 in verses 6 through 10. There, Paul writing under inspiration to the Galatian Christians, he says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please man? For if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Very clear there, isn't it, dear listener, that we cannot change any of God's Word around. We can't teach anything from it that would make it contradict anywhere. And another passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. There it says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, "I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another." And then over in 2 John verse 9, 2 John verse 9, another passage that's very important when we talk about not adding to or taking away from God's Word. There in 2 John 9, it says, "Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." So these are some principles that we need to understand as we study actually any Bible subject, but especially concerning the one true church that we read about in the New Testament. Now, when we look at this one true church, we're already complexed and puzzled, because we're in a time in history that we look around us and we see thousands and thousands of different churches, and we scratch our head and wonder, well, what's happened since the first century? Because in the first century, there's only one true church. And so I want you to think about that for a moment. And when we start studying some scriptures on the one true church, how it is formulated by God through Jesus Christ in the New Testament, we need to be asking ourselves questions concerning the group that we might be associated with religiously. We've got to compare what we're involved in with today with what we find in the New Testament. And that would be my goal. But before I get started, we want to take a moment to remind you that you are listening to Bible Talk on KFEQ 680 AM. It's presented by the County Line Church of Christ, meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads, and we're located just northwest of the new shopping center on the North Belt Highway. Again, we invite you to worship with us this morning at 9:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and 10:20 for worship, 4 p.m. for worship, and we also meet Wednesday evenings at 7 for Bible study. We do offer, of course, a free Bible correspondence course through the mail. If you'd like to get it, just leave your name and address at our number, area code 816-279-4737, and we'll mail that out to you. And also, if you would like a home Bible study, just let us know. Leave your name and phone number here at 816-279-4737, and we'll get back to you, and we'll be happy to discuss and study any Bible subject you might be interested in studying, and we'll do our best to speak as with a thus saith the Lord, speak as the oracles of God, as Jesus informs us that we must do in 1 Peter 4:11 through the inspired Apostle Peter. Okay, continuing then concerning the one true church, let's start with looking at its founder. We have to, when there's something that starts, we always go back to the founder. And the founder of this one true church that we read about in the New Testament is Jesus Christ himself and none other. First, we find that he is the purchaser. In Acts verse 20 and 28, we read this text, Acts 20 and verse 28. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Notice, dear listener, that Jesus obtained or purchased this church that we're studying about, that we read about in the New Testament. He purchased it with his own blood. We hear people telling us today, you know, church doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Dear friends, that's not true. We've just read a scripture in Acts 20 and verse 28 that clearly shows that it is such an important organization that Jesus purchased it with his own blood. And so when a person says that the church isn't important and you don't have to go to church to be saved, you don't have to be involved in church to be saved, they are not teaching what the New Testament teaches. This is how we can find out whether it's right or wrong, by going to the scriptures and seeing what the scriptures teach. The church is very, very important. It's so important that Jesus Christ purchased it, obtained it with his own blood. Next passage we look at is Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. There we find that Jesus Christ, the founder of this church, he's the builder. Let's go back to verse 16 and read 16 through 18. Here Jesus is asking them who they believe the Son of Man is, who he is. And they had answered, well, some people say you're this person and that person. And Simon Peter gave the correct answer. In verse 16, Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, that is what he just stated, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, shall not prevail against it. Now I want you to understand here that Jesus was not teaching that the church was built upon Peter. Now there are some that teach that today. That's not what this says here, because the Greek for Peter and the Greek for rock are two different Greek tenses. And he's not saying that I'm building my church on you, Peter. He's saying I'm building my church on the statement that you made, that he is the Messiah. In other words, the rock that the church is built upon is Jesus Christ himself. So let's look at a few more scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, we find this reading, and in the context, it's talking about the church, but it's also talking in a parallel comparison, the husband and the wife. And when you look at the context, you'll see that, but we're just going to quote verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, there's a few things I want to point out in this verse. First of all, it says that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. But it also shows that the church is also referred to as his body. So when you study passages like Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, and it talks about the seven unities of the Spirit, one of the things you'll see it there is that there's one body, and we'll talk about this and read that later on. But I want you to understand, sir, listeners, as you listen and study along with me, that you have to understand and let the scriptures allow you to understand correctly that the church and the body is used synonymously. Those are those terms that are used interchangeably by Jesus. And this is one of those scriptures that's very clear there. It says that Christ is the head of the church, his body. And also it says, and he himself is its Savior. So again, we have a passage that shows us that the church, this body, this entity that Jesus came to build, as we looked at in Matthew 16:18, he is the Savior of this body. And as we noticed in Acts 20:28, he purchased this entity, this body, with his own blood. So we can see the importance of this organization that we're talking about, the church, the assembly that Jesus Christ came to build, came to establish on this earth, that he purchased with his own blood. And he is the Savior of it. That brings another point out that I want you to think about. And this is very important, dear listener, because we have so many people telling us today that the church, this organization, this assembly is not important. I want you to look at this passage very carefully as we scrutinize it in Ephesians 5:23. He says that Jesus Christ is himself the Savior of the body, or its Savior. He's the Savior of the body, the church. Now, my question is, if he is the Savior of the church, where do you and I have to be in order to be saved? Can we be saved outside of this body that he came and built? Can we be saved when he's the Savior of the body? If I'm not in the body, am I going to be saved? That's just a simple common sense question that I want you to think about. Because if he's the Savior of the body, this church, then we had better be in this church or in this body that we're reading about. Because that's where the saved are. That's where he saves people. That's how important the church that we're talking about in the New Testament is. And it's very important that we study it in depth and understand about this place where we have to be for Jesus to save us. Because if we're not there, then we're not going to be saved, because he's the Savior of this body, this church that he established. Next thing we look at is Acts 2 and verse 36 that show us concerning Jesus being the lawgiver. And there, of course, the Apostle Peter was preaching the first complete gospel sermon where they told people what they had to do to get into Christ. And in verse 36, as he's finishing that sermon, he says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him," that's Jesus Christ, "both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." He's the lawgiver. He's the Lord now. And he hopefully is going to be our Lord, and we hopefully will do what he tells us to do to get into that body of which he is the Savior. So the question I want to ask you at this time is, did Jesus Christ establish the church that you are a member of? Did Jesus Christ establish the church that I am a member of? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Well, how do we determine that? Well, what we do is we look at the identifying characteristics of the church that we might be members of and apply them and compare them with the identifying characteristics of the church in the New Testament. And that's what we're trying to do in this series concerning the One True Church. My goal is to encourage everyone that is listening to our Bible study, our little radio program. Our intent for you is to get you to start studying your Bibles and not just accept what you're told. If you are in an organization, a religious organization, not just accept what your parents taught you or what your friends or relatives tell you, but go to God's Word and let God tell you on any given religious subject. And of course, that applies for what we teach on this program too. We're not inspired. We don't have any direct connection with God above anybody else. The only connection that any of us have with God to learn is through His inspired Word. That's why, as we started this study today, that Jesus made so much emphasis that the truth is what has to go into our hearts. The truth, His Word, is what saves us. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We know we have to go through God's Word. That's where the truth is. That's the only way we can come to God on His terms and do His will. So when I ask these questions through this study, as I've just asked this one, did Jesus Christ establish the church you are a member of, then I hope that encourages you to examine the group that you might be worshiping God in and compare what they teach with what is taught in the New Testament. Because if we are only going to be saved by being in this body that Jesus established back in the first century, then that means that if we are in a religious group that Christ didn't establish, and He tells us not to add to or take away from His Word, then we might be in big trouble. And we all want to go to heaven. I wouldn't even assume that there's someone listening to this program this morning that doesn't want to go to heaven. I think all of us want to go to heaven. And I tell you, I've met very few people that want to go to hell in my short lifetime. There are a few that could care less about what happens when they die, and they're living to please themselves and do what they want. They don't want anybody to tell them that you can't do this or you can't do that. They're going to go out and do whatever they want. A lot of them end up in prison or dead, but there's a lot of people out there that obey the laws of the Lamb. They just live the way they want to live, to do what they don't want anybody telling them, hey, you can't do that. That's not right. So there are a few of those people that say, yeah, I'm going to hell. I could care less. Big deal. I'll deal with that when I get there. But you know, most people aren't like that. Most of us, when we study God's Word and we see all the scriptures that talk about this place called hell and that it's going to be an eternal torment, an eternal punishment, never ending, it sobers us up pretty quick, doesn't it? You're right. We get serious about this and we say, you know, I want to put God first. I don't want to go to hell. And besides, I see all the blessings God gives me every day. He's such a wonderful God. Look at all the things He does for us. And, you know, we need to always be praising and thanking Him and seeking to please Him. And He tells us, if you want to please me, then you keep my commandments. You do my will. And He tells us how to do that. And so that's what we're trying to encourage people to do through this little radio program that we have. It's about time for me to leave now, so I want to thank you again for tuning into Bible Talk as presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at County Line in Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. Again, you're welcome to come and worship with us at any time, Sunday mornings at 9:30, 10:20, 9:30 for Bible study, 10:20 for worship services, and 4 in the afternoon for worship. And then we meet Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. We again encourage you to think about these things that we're presenting. Hopefully you've written some of these scriptures down that you can go study on your own. Read your Bible. Seek for the truth. God bless you, and you have a very nice day.